You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We'll be talking this week with CEOs and leaders from across the DC area about leadership. But you know what? This is a special week because we have been working all year with the business community in DC to produce the Leaders Portfolio Awards, the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards. You listeners, you nominated businesses, everything from a business with one employee to, hundreds of employees. And we took the applicants, reviewed them. There's a panel that reviewed them. And then we selected the winners. And I'm going to announce those winners very soon. In fact, the judges graded the applicants. They were very impressed with the wide variety of entries from size of company to sector to region. We had an outside DC category as well. And so it was really exciting to see all these different businesses saying, yes, I do practice leadership principles. I give back to my clients. I give back to the community. I give back to my employees. And I try to make some tough decisions behind closed doors. And so we had these Leaders Portfolio Awards. Another thing that was really special about our award competition is that there was no sponsor influence in results. So, for example, if you're a sponsor of the show, it didn't mean that therefore you could, therefore enter the competition or you could be a judge and select your entry. And so it was really a pure leadership competition, which is really a testament to our winners. And also, the competition was not designed to sell a product, which is something that some award competitions do. So there's a goal in mind. We're selecting certain people. And so I'm real proud of that because it was a pure leadership competition and the best one. And so we thank you for all the entries. And those of you who didn't win, we want to encourage you to keep practicing those leadership ideals. And you know what? Apply next year because we are we're proud to have people committed to that goal and something we talk about every week. All right. So with all that being said, you now know it was a good competition. We're proud of the winners and Leaders Portfolio wants to congratulate and announce the following winners. All right. For Business Leader of the Year, 1 to 50 employees, Business Leader of the Year, 1 through 50 employees, Adam Pattisall, founder and CEO of Increditech. That's Adam Pattisall, founder and CEO of Increditech. Adam, congratulations for being Business Leader of the Year and thank you for applying and continue practicing those leadership principles. All right. For Business Leader of the Year, 51 plus employees, Business Leader of the Year, 51 plus employees, Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. We're going to have Randy in studio with us today. And so we'll congratulate him personally. Now, Rising Business Leader of the Year, Chelsea Nichols. Rising Business Leader of the Year, Chelsea Nichols. Also, not just leaders, we were also awarding leadership businesses with awards. Leadership Business of the Year, Leadership Business of the Year, 1 through 50 employees, Encore Path, and Encore Path will be also one of the award winners with us this month. Leadership Business of the Year, 51 plus employees. Leadership Business of the Year, 51 plus employees. High Performance Technologies Incorporated. High Performance Technologies Incorporated. Again, congratulations to Encore Path and High Performance Technologies Incorporated for winning in their categories. Leadership Business of the Year, outside DC. We had co-winners for this category. Muwerthy Law Firm and Video Horizons, these were outside DC, Muwerthy Law Firm in Maryland and Video Horizons up in the Pittsburgh area. And so congratulations to those winners. I want to thank all of our applicants for entering this year's 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards. Also, thanks to those of you who, weren't selected to win, but still entered. We appreciate that. And I also want to congratulate our winners from myself, Rebecca Blacksmith, and the Leaders Portfolio team. And especially thank you to Sharia for arranging this competition for her hard work. So congratulations to the winners. Our first guest now in studio is the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Award winner for Business Leader of the Year, 51 plus employees, Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. Welcome, Randy. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
I love being able to say that. Welcome and congratulations in the same sentence. So were you, how did you feel? Were you surprised about winning the award? And
it was a surprise. It was completely unexpected. And I thank you for the recognition.
Is leadership something that since you started, you've always kind of tried to integrate since you've started Catapult in 1996?
Well, leadership's always been a role, even back when it was one employee. And that is the vision, it's the direction, it's where you really want to be as your company tends to finish. You know, what's that ultimate objective you have? And then what do you have to do to move backward to put all the pieces in place so you finally get there? And the pieces include not only the infrastructure of the company, but the employees, the processes, the quality, the relationships, the business ethics, and how you really want to function that you're comfortable with and you can be proud of. So it's a culture that develops through that process.
And Catapult Technology was ranked 1452 on the Inc. 5000 list and is a service-disabled, veteran-owned firm that provides information technology and management consulting services to the federal government. And you said you were on the Inc. 500 a couple times back when you first started.
Six, seven, 8 years ago, we actually reached 31. Which I knew we would never get to that level before, but that was a complete surprise that we were the 31st fastest growing company in the country.
And you built this company yourself with a team.
Yes, it started with one, but I've got a very good management team, and it's taken quite a while to get the right people, to develop them, and to have the right talent. And one of the challenges is knowing when you have to bring somebody in. And you have loyal employees that you want to see succeed, but you can't always take them to the next level. So it's trying to balance bringing your current staff and developing them for the next level. And then when you can't get somebody there, recognizing you've got to bring in the talent that has the right experience.
And you were before Catapult Technology, you were the managing consultant for some of the FAA's IT systems. And this was a $1.2 billion outsourcing effort undertaken by the federal government.
Yeah, actually, it was support for the CIO's office. We were part of their technical support staff and oversaw at that time the largest outsourcing effort the federal government had undertaken. The procurement regs were so difficult to work through that it was easier to go outside and let the commercial market answer the need, because I could do something commercially in weeks that took the government 18 months to procure. So it was moving it, and we essentially helped the FAA develop the process, do all the studies, and then oversee, as the contract was awarded, the performance by one of the major players out there.
And you, does the government take as long now?
No, it's far shorter than what it was then. It's still, compared to commercial, a long process. But you would see an easy example. If you had a mainframe computer, you'd upgrade the processor, and it would take you 18 months. By the time the processor was upgraded, you were out of memory. It would take you another 18 months because you had to justify your route before you started, and then the process took too long. And what we found is that the government IT professionals spent half their time doing procurements instead of doing new development and innovation and really applying new technology. So that was the whole idea when we did Project CORN with FAA, Computer Resources Nucleus, was to take advantage of the commercial world. Today, you don't have to do that because it's a much shorter process.
You know, and that's interesting, too, because, you know, in your field, technology, if you can't be fast, it's almost one of the worst fields to not be fast in, right?
Yes.
Because it's constantly updating.
It's constantly changing, and if you can't evolve and move along with it and take advantage of that technology, then you end up stuck, and it becomes so much more difficult to move forward. Because instead of doing a gradual transition with the process, you have to do a major leap. And the hardest problem is bringing the people along, because they get locked into the older systems. People naturally do not want to change when something's working well.
Mm-hmm.
And when all of a sudden you've reached the constraints and technology is your answer to move forward and to gain the efficiencies, it's hard to move a nationwide organization from point A to point B and do it very quickly. And that's one of the areas that's been one of our strengths, is understanding that the technology is great, but you've got to have the people as part of that solution.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work with the government employees. You have to lay out a path. They have to have a voice in the process, and they have to be part of the solution, not it's invented in Washington and you get to do it. You know, it's the old, I'm from Washington, I'm here to help you. And that's what the field always tended to, you know, have that type of feeling, is no, you've got to integrate them into the solution.
Part of leadership is, you know, when you're a contractor, your project is contracted out to you, is sometimes you have to work with a partner that's not always a great partner. Sometimes you have a great partner. You may have a government team that's incredible, and you may, at some point, I'm sure over your, you know, 14 years, you've had someone leading the team for the government who was a problem. How do you handle it when you know this partner could sink me? This is the wrong person inside government leading this project, and I don't know if I can perform.
Yeah, it's a challenge. What you've got to do is try to bring that person on board and convince them that what you can bring to the party can really make a difference and make their job much easier. Sometimes you succeed, sometimes you don't. And you're not the decision maker. The government's the decision maker. You provide the best recommendations you can, and for whatever reasons, you know, technical, political, whatever comes into those decisions, you have to support that decision process. But you continually bring solutions. And if the trust is there and it builds, we found that the government manager that has tended to be the one resisting, you know, becomes our strongest advocate when they see that their position's still there, they still have the authority and the power, but we're making their job easier and we're making their client within the agencies more successful, that it does evolve into a partnership.
And we're speaking with Catapult Technologies, a Leaders Portfolio Business Leader of the Year, 51 plus employees, Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. And Randy, so one of my theories of leadership is that there's a private ethic. So the leader doesn't just do, they're not just a leader in front of their colleagues or in front of their client, whether it be the government or commercial, but they're in a boardroom behind closed doors, right? What is that leader? What decisions does that leader make, or with their family, or et cetera? Comment on that. How true do you think that is? You can disagree with me.
No, I think it's there. But it also, you have to understand the people that you have. You have to understand that you're much more effective, particularly as a small business grows, to get good people in and to leverage those people, which means you have to empower them. You have to let them make mistakes. You have to give them the flexibility to succeed. But in the short term, you're going to have some disruptions and you're going to have a learning curve. But you've got to be supportive through that learning curve. And if people can move, you end up with a very good leader. If it ends up that that person cannot move to that level, then you need to look at other alternatives. But I found what works best is finding the right people, empowering them, and then getting out of their way and just directing them in a general sense. They're much more satisfied with their job. They're enthused. They're motivated. All those positive things come into play. And in the process, you end up with a much healthier company, a healthy work environment where people want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, Randy, we're going to continue our conversation. I want to delve into more of your thoughts on leadership, also talking about how you're approaching mid-tier and some of the decisions you're making on that. When we return on Leaders Portfolio, again, we are honored to have in studio the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Business Leader of the Year for 51-plus employees, Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. And when we return, we're going to continue that leadership discussion. Right now, I want to thank our exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. We'll return after this. It's all on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
We're back here on Leaders Portfolio with our Business Leader of the Year from the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards, 51 plus employees. It's Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. We just announced that he was the award winner for that category, beat out other applicants in that category for his answers to leadership questions. And, you know, this wasn't a competition about growth or, you know, things like that. It was really about what decisions had he made as a business leader. Now, Randy, there were a couple things that happened to you that kind of, I should say, tested your leadership. And one was September 11th and another was International Award. And talk to me about kind of what that meant to you.
Yeah, when September 11th hit, we had just won the IT infrastructure operational support for the Department of Transportation. And we had a couple of the giants that we were able to beat out, Lockheed, CSC, and all of a sudden we had that core contract. Well, 9/11 hit days before we ended up with the contract. And, of course, you'll recall the airlines were shut down. National wasn't going anywhere. Phones were ringing off the hooks. It was a new world, and we were trying to figure out how to deal with it. And we happened to be there. So our people, everybody wanted to do something. We were in a position we could make a difference. And so we ended up implementing security directives that came out of the White House as far as tightening up the infrastructure. We had the phone system, so we had phones ringing off the hook, trying to direct calls to the right parties. And TSA was stood up, and we happened to be the contractor there for Transportation Security Administration. And what we ended up doing was tying the communications all around Washington as they found whatever space they could and borrowed employees from other agencies. So until they could get to the point they could award a large contract, we were the ones there to get it, keep things going. So it was a chance to really shine, and I had 25 of my employees ended up with an administrator's award, which was reserved only for government employees. And then the company had a special recognition, which I it was a total surprise when I showed up to hear about my employees. But as far as the company, we really had a chance to do something, and that opened up a lot of doors for us. And then last year, 2009, we ended up, I went up to New York, and we were awarded the Outsourcing Excellence Award from the Outsourcing Center in Forbes magazine. And I thought, that's a nice award. Got up there, I had no idea how big an award it was. This is really the Academy Awards, and it's an international award. We ended up getting Best IT Infrastructure with our partner, GSA. It's an award that is shared between the organization that outsources and the company providing the services, because it really is a true partnership to succeed. So we ended up with that. Well, it kind of felt like Slumdog Millionaire coming out of nowhere and winning Best Picture. So that was that's also opened some doors for us and created some visibility.
And now you have a third award, the Leaders Portfolio Award.
Yes.
Right, so you're going to put that next to your other?
Put that with the others. So and I guess part of the thing that's that I've been excited about, because we've been a leader on the service disabled veteran side, trying to open that door. Back in 98, I went to a VA conference, and out of 300 companies, we were the only disabled veteran firm there. And now you go to the Veterans Conference in Las Vegas every year, and there's thousands of companies.
So you kind of paved the way, and now you create a lot of competitors for yourself, basically.
That's fine. We created a lot of competitors, but it opened a door that needed to be opened. You know, for the longest time, the stigma of Vietnam hung around, and as far as contractors, the image just wasn't there. And serving your country was, you know, something you tended to hide instead of being proud of. That was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
So to see a change, it's exciting. And for us, we've been able to be the company that's opened many of the doors, getting many of the large contracts that eliminate the skeptics. A small business can't do that. Well, we're doing it. So to be able to be in that role has been very rewarding, and now we're mentoring other companies and actively helping those that are coming behind us.
We're speaking with the CEO of Catapult Technology, Randy Slager, ranked 1452 on the Inc. 5000 and appeared three times on the Inc. 500 and was our Leaders Portfolio Award winner. Randy, healthcare is a big issue because, you know, healthcare just passed. This has been going on for a decade or plus. And so it's a kind of a big, I like to say it's a big cultural mark. It's not necessarily a huge, it's not necessarily a huge policy shift, because so much of our society was already, government was already providing healthcare. So when you look at it incrementally, it wasn't a big shift, but politically and culturally, it was a big shift, a big win for President Obama. And so my question is, you know, now we're seeing all over the news, all these companies are talking about, it's going to affect me this way, it's going to affect me this way. Talk to me about how you see healthcare impacting, either you can speak to it about your company, how is it affecting your company, or how does it affect government contractors?
Well, it's going to affect government contractors in a couple of different ways. We've been able to shelter our increases over the last few years by accepting part of that risk and self-insuring up to a certain limit. That has buffered increases so that we were able to save some of the middleman expenses and our employees were able to get good benefits without feeling the dramatic, double-digit increases. That's been exhausted, so we've already got that savings. This year, we're large enough that we were able to run competition between the various insurers, and instead of seeing a 25-30% increase, we kept it down to 9-10%. So we were able to come out okay on it. Insurance companies base their rates on risk and uncertainty. Well, being that so much of the economy is changing, what is it, 1/6 of the economy with health care, they're going to be covering that risk. So I'm expecting rates to go up and to reflect that risk until uncertainty starts to come back into the market. And for us, it's going to be a trade-off. We also have seen in competitions as we're out there, many companies that we're competing against are drastically slashing the benefits. So they're able to lower their price mm-hmm. and be more competitive as we compete or recompete on work because they've cut the benefits or they've taken advantage of the unemployment situation. Well, that's temporary. It's a short-sighted. But if you're doing a competition where price mm-hmm. is the driver, it allows them to take advantage. The thing is, you're going to have high turnover. The customer is going to feel that pain over the first couple years of the contract. It's a situation that we avoid because we believe that stable workforce really builds our future.
Do you see, with reference to government contractors, do you see the them cutting benefits? Do you see them asking the employee to pay more of the proportion of benefits? Do you see certain benefits just not even being offered? Forget vision and dental. It's just now medical. Are there trends or is it just a whole mishmash?
No, I see because particularly the government, it's very competitive on the rates. They're long-term contracts with low margins, and it's got to be very competitive. Well, if you're seeing a dramatic increase in your health care, you're going to end up cutting other benefits to offset it. You're going to be sharing some more risk with the employees. We want to provide the best we can, but to be competitive and to keep the jobs, you need to be able to keep within certain budget. And so we're going to feel that pressure. Like I say, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been able to pretty well shelter the employees and do a good job. We're going to be making those difficult trade-offs just like everyone else in the industry. And we want to take care of our workforce. We like it to be a career, not just a job, which is a long term. And in the government sector, that's not the norm. The norm is a lot of turnover and, keeping the rates much more competitive. So for us, it's going to be a challenge because we do want to take care of those employees, but we also have to be price competitive or we're not going to have the jobs for them.
Right, right. And we're speaking with Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology, 2010 Leaders Portfolio Award winner. Randy, you've talked about how you're approaching mid-tier category. Talk to
yes.
me about some of the leadership decisions that you're now having to make as you enter that new tier.
Oh, okay. We've been preparing for some time for mid-tier, but we're actually now doing that transition. And what happens when you go to mid-tier, it's a different market, particularly in the government sector where you have the giants. They're the industry giants, $25, $30 billion companies. You have the small business end, and there isn't much in between in the mid-tier, particularly from $100 million in revenue to $1 billion is a very limited market. And to be successful there, you've got advantages of a small business in that you can be very flexible, very responsive. You can tend to provide that extra care to that customer. Also, you're not necessarily driven by quarterly profit margins, so you can do a lot more long-term investing as you win contracts. So there's some advantages being there. But on the other hand, the larger companies have the name recognition, some economies of scale, so there's some advantages. So how do you grow in that market? You can do certain amount of organic growth, which is there, and then you have to look at options. How do I really move to the $500 to $1 billion level? And most of that is bringing in money. Do you do an IPO and go out and issue stock, bring in revenue in this market with all the uncertainty in the stock market? Not necessarily the best time. You can do venture capital, which there's money out there that can do it, but you give up a lot of control and direction, and you may not end up evolving to the company that you really could be, mm-hmm. realizing that full potential, because they're driven on returns, and so many years they have to see their return and look probably at a sale of the company.
Or you could just say, forget it all, I'm retiring. Right, that's your...
Well,
I mean,
you can forget it all, I'm retiring. But it's an exciting market, but for us it's a different world. We have a management team in position to go. We're probably looking at around $150, $160 million this year to get up to the 250 level. But beyond that, you really need a different set of people. So you try to keep the best people you have now. You try to bring in some other talent and position yourselves. So there's some experience. And we have some time to learn and adjust and transition.
How much time, as a leader... CEO of Catapult Technology, Chairman and CEO, Randy Slager. Back in the day, you probably were really up to date on IT, and now you've been managing this business. Do you struggle with that? How much time do I spend learning the field versus kind of running the company?
I've moved away. I was a computer scientist. I was very heavy on the technical, the mainframe to the PC, wrote network operating systems for space. I had a very strong technical background, as well as implementing at FBI and FAA and a number of agencies some very large projects. But that's all dated. But I've found that background gives you the ability to look at pricing, to look at risk, to look at the right things. But I have to rely on my staff on the technical side, my key executives, because they're the ones staying current with the technology. So I just need to know where the risk is, the pricing, and then be able to provide them the support they need. I thoroughly enjoyed transitioning to the entrepreneur side.
Okay, good.
To me, I find it much more challenging and rewarding than the technical, which the technical was hard. It was good. But to me, the entrepreneur is really where my heart is. So it was good to finally find that career evolve that
niche,
way.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, I got a Forbes business quote for you. This is from James Thompson. Great trials seem to be a necessary preparation for great duty. Great trials seem to be a necessary preparation for great duty. That's by James Thompson. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's very true, because in the trials, you learn where your weaknesses are, you learn your strengths, and then you can amplify those strengths and build on them, but also you can address the weaknesses and better prepare yourself for the challenges that are coming down the road for you. So those trials, and same thing as I look at my executives, as my key managers, or even the technical staff. Once you've done that, that experience is there and it stays with you, and you're better prepared for the larger challenge that comes after that.
You said you made a comment about you think a lot of your trials were in the past.
Well, the hardest part for a company is those first 5 years. You're on the edge continually. You're juggling. You're trying to develop an infrastructure. It's difficult. You have to set priorities. You have to compromise. You know you're not where you need to be. But what has to happen first to keep you going? And you used to do slices of different areas just to keep you moving to the next level. And part of what we've done is we put the quality processes in early so we didn't have to keep repeating the solutions. We could continually evolve them, and that's worked well. So to this stage, we have a solid infrastructure that's really been very healthy in promoting the growth. But as we move to mid-tier, we know the challenges are going to change. We look at acquisitions. We look at things we haven't done before. And although I have people that have some experience there from a corporate culture, it's going to be a real change for us.
Excellent. Well, best of luck with, hopefully not too many trials in the future and growing into mid-tier and just leading in the future. I want to thank you for appearing.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure spending this time with you.
And congratulations again on being Business Leader of the Year, 51-plus employees, Randy.
Well, thank you.
Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. And, of course, you can find his interview at leadersportfolio.com. That's leadersportfolio.com. And we congratulate Randy as well as his company for winning that award. It's a big honor, and we appreciate that. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank our sponsors of Leaders Portfolio, Dennis Co-Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. Back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.